Two types of life insurance, folks. Only two types. You've got investment insurance and non-investment insurance. Non-investment insurance is called term insurance. You pay for a year, you commit to pay 1 year at a time, or you commit to pay at one level for 10 or 15 or 20 years, whatever it is. And all that happens is if you die, your heirs get the money. It's not a good bet. You don't want to win, because if you win, you're dead. And it really should be called death insurance, not life insurance, because you don't get squat out of it. And that's the cheapest and most effective way to buy it. If you need life insurance, and most people, by the way, if you have dependents, you need life insurance. So if you do have dependents that are relying on you for income, you're probably going to need somewhere between 5 to 10 times what you make on an annual basis in an insurance policy. Do it term, do it low cost. You can get these from top-rated companies online and avoid the commissions. Now, the plan that most financial planners, not every one of them, but most financial planners are going to want to sell to you is life insurance that has an investment. It's got a lot of names. They'll call it universal. They'll call it adjusted. They'll call it graduated life, universal life, whole life. They've got a lot of names for it, variable life. But they all do the exact same thing. They have a term life insurance policy that is attached to an investment vehicle. That is all it is. I do not care how it's been described to you, folks. That is the truth. There is no other distinction. These policies perform horribly. First of all, in the early years, if you, they call it surrender, that means you stop paying. In the early years, if you surrender on most of these policies, if any time within the first 7 years you stop paying, you lose everything and get nothing. So, I mean, how'd you like signing up for a mutual fund for a couple $100 a month, and after 7 years you stop paying, you get none of your money back? That's life insurance.
Wow.
On a 10-year period, they return 2.5%. So some people are listening right now, well, wait, John, if it's that bad, then why are they recommending it? Two reasons. First reason, it is by far the easiest license to get. In the United States of America, along with most Western nations, to become a financial planner, to quote-unquote hang that shingle out as a planner, all one has to do is go down to Kinko's or any office supply store, print a business card, and put financial planner on it. There are no licensing requirements. There are no regulatory requirements whatsoever in any state in America, period. The only major free country that does it is Singapore. They actually have people have to go through an accreditation program to become a financial planner. So you've got all these people who are calling themselves financial planners. Let's talk about their trainings. I was one. Now, when I'm doing this at seminars, there's usually a planner or two in the crowd or people who had been. And you know what? They may not like it, but they don't disagree. Here's the training program, folks. 6 Tuesday evenings, you go to the company's sales office, and they train you for 6 evenings on how to become a financial planner. You then go to a cram course on a Saturday and Sunday. All day long, you take the course. Most states, there's a 100-question test. It's in 5 parts. There is, for each part, there's 100 potential questions you're going to get. You're going to get 20 of them. You don't know which one. So you sit at a computer terminal on a Saturday and Sunday, and you take over and over and over again the test until you can short-term memory memorize 70% of the answers so you can pass your test. I took mine. They give you 3 hours for the test. I was done in 17 minutes. I have very, very good short-term memory, which doesn't mean anything other than you can pass a test quick. I don't remember anything that was on the test, and it's okay because it had nothing to do with anything in the real world. And I was a financial planner. So obviously, it's the easiest license to get so you can sell something, because you got to be licensed to sell different products. So why insurance? Well, here's the reason, John. If I buy the term policy, you know, and I'm a regular person, my premium might be $300 a year. If I, for term insurance, for $250,000 for somebody who's around 35, that not an exact number, but real close to ballpark. If I get a whole life policy, I can go ahead and have that insurance be $2,000 premium. On a term policy as an insurance agent, a financial planner, I make 30 to 35% commission. On a whole life, I make 55%, universal life, 50%. And if I'm a mediocre agent, meaning I'm making about $40,000 to $50,000 a year, which is in the major cities, that's nothing, I get a 30% bonus. So the very second thing they recommend, the first thing that they can sell you after the emergency fund is life insurance, and they're making 80 to 85% commission.
Wow.
And to those of you listening, did Mike or Charlie or Sally forget to mention to you their commissions?
So this pyramid, which I think many of us are familiar with, which usually has the high risk element at the very crown of it, you're saying we should throw that out?
I'm saying we need to be aware of it. We need to do life insurance, but man, we need not do it their way. The next thing on the pyramid is you go up